Hi everyone, Mallory here, and welcome back to Mallory's Weird World Adventures podcast. In this episode, I'm going to do things a little bit differently, so bear with me here, but we're going to have more of a candid and less planned discussion about the first time I ever left the country, which was this wild, metaphysical, spiritual, strange adventure that I had in Serbia and England. So I went to school for theater, and in between my junior and senior years, we had the opportunity to study abroad over the summer in Belgrade, Serbia, with the DA Theater. Now, what makes the DA Theater so unbelievably important and different than a lot of other theater troupes is that it was very political in its nature. It had political roots because the women that ran this theater utilized theater as a tool to speak out against the dictator in Serbia back during the war in Kosovo. So there was a lot of political charge and high emotions in the work that they did. And I know, especially in the Western world, we tend to talk about performance art as a joke, but going to the DA and watching their shows showed me firsthand what real performance art is, how incredible and draining and emotional it can be, and beautiful, by the way, and what just that really means in general. And it helped develop and shape me as an artist as well. So I'd like to talk about that journey a bit and what a day working at the theater out there was like, and also just how that world felt being pulled out of the States here and thrown into Serbia for the first time I ever left the country. And then, of course, we finished out the trip going to England, where I turned 21 in a castle, which kind of defeats the purpose when you're somewhere where you could drink anyway at 21. But as an avid non-drinker, honestly, it wasn't that special. But it was a really cool experience getting to turn 21 in a castle and have this wild, epic adventure come out of that. And I'm going to end it with a letter that I wrote to my instructor as part of the program, what we had to do at the end of the experience. So it's a little personal, but I hope you like it. And first, though, we're going to talk about Serbia. So, as mentioned, the first time I ever left the country was going to Belgrade, Serbia, to study at the DA Theater. What was so interesting about this is we were a group of college kids going with our professor, and there were about, I want to say, 15 of us, maybe, that all went on the journey together, and we were separated out and housed by either members of the theater or family members of people that worked in the theater. When I was there at the time, the theater pretty much consisted of 4 women, and 3 of them were older, and 1 was younger, and she was kind of training to become a part of that theater. And the 3 older women there were all veteran members that were there during the war in Kosovo, and they used their theater as a way to speak out and perform these political shows on the streets during very, very dangerous times. And getting to work with them was just a treasure, honestly. Anyway, we stayed with this wonderful woman named Maritza, me and a few other girls, and she lived in New Belgrade, which was far, 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 far away from the theater. And so every morning we would have to get up, make ourselves whatever breakfast from some supplies we picked up downstairs at the market below where we were staying. And we would go out to the bus station, ride a bus about 30 minutes into Old Belgrade, which is where the theater was, and then walk about a mile and a half to then get to the theater. So it would take us over an hour usually each morning to get into the theater every day. So we not only had to be up and ready and prepared, but we also had to have good spatial awareness because this was before smartphones. This was before having a GPS on you. So we really had to be shown it one time and then remember, okay, this is how we get in and this is how we get back. And it became questionable. Sometimes we actually wound up exploring and discovering Belgrade without any, you know, smartphone or technological capabilities. So I'm super impressed actually now at how I was able to do that back then, because I wound up figuring out where the internet cafe was in the city, taking another bus, God knows how far, to the internet cafe on days where we had a break from the theater and we couldn't go all the way back because a lot of the other students actually lived very close to the theater. And I was not so lucky. Me and my three roommates would have periods of time where there were a solid, you know, 2 or 3 hours in the afternoon where it definitely wasn't enough time to go back. So we would just kind of go on adventures in between while waiting to go back to the theater. And I guess it was the first time in my entire life that I had no supervision. I was on my own and I felt complete freedom. And there's something so liberating about having this complete freedom when you're somewhere that's honestly a little out of your comfort zone. So it was a very interesting and incredible time for me. I remember being blown away because, of course, in the apartment where we stayed, there was no working air or heat. And so Maritza would open up the balcony every day and we would wake up to just a horde of mosquitoes in the living room. And I'm like, oh, well, that's new. And it was just something that was so normal to her that we were all kind of mildly concerned by it. But of course, it was fine. The key to get into the apartment was actually this huge old metal key that was several inches long. So it kind of looked like something you would see out of a movie. And the first day that we stayed there, Maritza wanted to make us some special traditional meal. So she wouldn't let us eat all day in anticipation for this wonderful dinner. And I remember being so hungry because I have to eat all the time. But I'm like, okay, this is going to be good. It's going to be good. So, you know, we're waiting and waiting. And then it gets to dinner time. And she made a spinach casserole. It was like a spinach baked dish with raw eggs cracked on top of them afterwards. So that was, I don't know what that was. I, of course, am always a very gracious guest. So I ate it and pretended that it was lovely. Other people had a harder time. And then the dessert was like this yogurt drink, which was just like unflavored, plain, yogurty, curdly kind of milk thing there. And I will say that was an experience. And then the next day we had it for lunch because there was leftovers and it was just left out all night and not put in the fridge and because the fridge didn't get that cold anyway. So one of my roommates actually got really, really, really sick from that. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, is this Serbian food? What are we going to do? But that was really the only instance like that, thankfully. And there was actually wonderful delis and pizza places all around Belgrade. So our food experience only improved after that situation. So I guess what was so interesting to me about the DAW when I first got there and saw it for the first time is that it actually at the time was in the basement of an elementary school. So we would have to go on these elementary school grounds like while school was in session and go under the school to get to the theater. It was a black box, which was pretty much the performance space. And then there was like a kitchen and a small side room and a few offices around the other side. And something that I think is really just the epitome of living like an artist in a way that people don't really do anymore was we would all take turns on chores. So there was different responsibilities that people had in the theater, and we would take turns each day doing different things. So there would be days you go in and you would clean, like scrub on your hands and knees the floor of the black box before all the training began. And then there were other days where you would do that afterwards, and there was different cleaning techniques for before the performances and after the performances. And I can honestly say that I left my time there being in the absolute best shape of my life, because when we would get there each morning after cleaning and getting ready for the day, we would spend 7 to 8 grueling hours of physical hard work. And we would start with Qigong, which, you know, is an energy exercise. It was amazing. It's kind of like Tai Chi for people that don't know. Like, you know, you're focusing, like you have this ball of energy around you and you're moving the energy around. And a lot of Qigong, at least the version of it that they did, you have to stand on your toes more or less. Like you don't have any of the weight in the back of your feet. So you're building this leg and feet strength like a ballerina. And it was hard. I mean, we would do that for an hour. This just still tense energy movement exercises that the first day some people weren't even capable of completing. I had trouble. I mean, I'm never going to back down. And that's probably a flaw of mine. I tried my damnedest, but it was hard. And then it got easier as the time went on. But I think that was probably my favorite part. And then we would get on to doing these three-step exercises where you're jumping and stepping and moving to a drum. And then would come the formation of shows and scenes. And what I think was so unbelievable about these scenes is that the idea of their performance art was what they would take something almost completely random, form it together, and then make a story out of it. So for instance, there was an exercise where they tell you to imagine that on the floor of the theater is a map of the world. And your point one is where you were born on that map. So you go to where on that physicality would represent, okay, this is where I'm born. And then you would go to where you live now. So from point A to point B. The next would be what's the one place in the world you wish you could go, your favorite place, and you would go there. And then they'd say, okay, now go from, that's your point one, your point two, your point three. Go from point one to point three, but with this emotion or with this intention. And now go from point three to point two with this intention. And just from sculpting these movements together with us, with people, and telling them what their intention might be, you can kind of, as the viewer, develop your own story of what's going on, which is subjective to everyone. And you yourself, as a performer, can start coming up with a story you're trying to tell everyone. And I mean, it was so eye-opening and wild to me to see the theater being performed that way. And their exercises were all like that, and they all blew my mind. And then we were lucky enough to be able to sit through several performances from the DAW while we were in town. And I'll never forget, there was one, I believe it was called The Story of Tea. And we all came in and they had seats set up across and around the stage area. And the entire piece didn't really have words. It was all very emotive and movement based. And as the story was progressing, they would actually bring and place objects and props out onto the stage. And they made these sculptures, like these unbelievably surrealist, beautiful sculptures out of the props they were working with while they were performing on the stage. And there was so much high intensity emotion in what you were watching. And then they would leave and the audience just sat there for, 30, 40 minutes after the play was over, just soaking in what they just saw. I mean, the power of the sculpting and the art and the emotion, I mean, it really took people over. And I have never experienced anything that like that in my life. And even talking about it now, you probably think I'm crazy because it was such a bizarre but beautiful thing that I hope everyone gets to experience one day. And afterwards, I remember we just walked through and soaked everything in, and I mean, took pictures up close of these sculptures and left having felt changed. I mean, it was absolutely wild, to say the least. And aside from the work at the theater, you know, we were college kids, so we did have some fun. Not that I really, unfortunately, got along with most of the people that I was traveling with. But there were a few wonderful highlights of things that we did get to do. We asked the local theater, because they have the big, beautiful national theater there in their town square of Belgrade. We asked about any English-speaking shows coming through. And they're like, oh, there's Shakespeare coming through. We have King Lear. Why don't you buy tickets to King Lear? So we all bought tickets to King Lear thinking we were going to see like an English-speaking show, but I guess they meant, oh, it's like an English-originated show, but it was actually a Greek version of King Lear with Serbian translated subtitles on a screen above the stage. So we saw a Greek version of King Lear with Serbian subtitles. And that was actually an interesting experiment in itself, because we were seeing how much of the story we could follow just based on the movements and acting without understanding the text. And we all kind of had a base understanding of King Lear. So that was an adventure. And another, I feel, highlight of this situation was getting to walk through Calimagden, which was this beautiful old fortress that had this incredible church in it on the edge of the water in Belgrade. And our teachers said, no pictures. You know, like you can do that on another time, but we're going to walk through and just actually memorize and see and experience everything and then write about it. And so that was an interesting way to experience it. I'm glad that I did. I wish I had gone back and taken pictures because it was breathtaking, but I do remember that just being a highlight as well. And of course, me being the weird vampire chick, I guess, you know, I love my mythology and occult stuff, and I love talking about vampires. Serbia is actually prime spot for the origin stories of vampires. It's actually way closer to Transylvania than you think it would be, and I was right there at the time and had no idea until later, so that's quite unfortunate. And then, after being in Serbia for quite some time, we went for a couple weeks to England, where we stayed in a castle with my instructor and one of her partners. They're writing an archetypes book, and we went through all of these archetype journeys and studies while in this castle in the English countryside in Herefordshire. And the archetypes is basically a technique that's utilized in acting that takes you through the journeys of the prime archetypes throughout art and literature. So like the lover, the child, the crone, the benevolent leader, and you go through these journeys and live out their story and kind of can utilize that aspect of an archetype in character development for shows. And it was an incredible experience, but for me, even more so than doing the archetype journeys, because I wound up taking the archetypes class later anyway, was the hidden passageways of this amazing castle that we were staying in. It was a, needless to say, you know, a medieval castle. So a lot of the base of the building was stone, but then it was kind of renovated and added onto with wooden wings and additions in the 1700s. It was connected to a church from an underground passageway, and the church actually had a bunch of the relatives of the Morgan family buried there. Apparently, this was actually a place that Captain Morgan himself came and stayed a lot, so that was pretty cool. And there was many, many, many times where we discovered hidden passages, secret rooms, things that, like that, that existed at this castle. But there was one night in particular where we accidentally kicked up a rug, saw that there was a hidden door, had to go on the adventure, went downstairs into the catacombs of the castle, where there was an incredible array of, I mean, old objects. We found a baby carriage from like the 1600s, an almanac that was printed in the 1700s. I mean, really, it was wild. And as we're going through, we found this hidden door and that led up into the yard. And of course, we take it and we realize that it led us out into the cemetery of the church. And it being very late at night and dark outside, everybody starts screaming and running. I, of course, didn't have shoes because I was not planning on going on this adventure with everybody. They kind of found me at one point, hey, we're going to go explore this. Do you want to come? And of course, I'm not going to say no, but I didn't have time to get my shoes. So one of the guys actually looked at me, scooped me up, and then we all ran. So that was really an incredible adventure. And we got to spend a day in Stratford-upon-Avon, which is, you know, where Shakespeare was born. So you can see the house where Shakespeare is born. That's where you can see Shakespeare's grave. And me and my intuition, man, I was obsessed with seeing Shakespeare's grave, like a little weirdo. And I pushed and pushed, like, that's the first place I want to go. I want to do this. We have to go there. We have to go there. And my group that I was with, a couple of girls, they were like, fine. Let's see the birthplace because it's right here, and then we'll go to Shakespeare's grave. So we did that. It was absolutely worth it. And then the church closed early that day, and we were the only group that got to see Shakespeare's grave. So my foresight and pushing and pushing and pushing and being obsessed with it paid off because we got to see it and nobody else did. that night we watched As You Like It at the theater there in Stratford-upon-Avon, and it was really incredible. Unfortunately, they did cook and skin a bunny on stage, which I just had to look away. And then, of course, my instructor doesn't get it. And she's like, oh, you're missing it. And then she's describing to me what's happening. And I'm like, no. It's okay. I don't need to know. So needless to say, this was my first time out of the country. It was incredible. Memories were made. And then the last night we were in town, I turned 21 in the castle. And we all had a big costume party. I got to dress up like Evita Perón, because of course I did. And it was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful experience. I hope I covered everything, because now I'm going to read this letter to you that I wrote to my instructor. She was originally going to collect our journals from this adventure, but after realizing it may be a little too personal, she had us writing letters to her instead. So here's mine. Hopefully it's not too personal. I actually don't remember what's in here, so we're about to have this adventure together. Dear Janet, thank you so much for giving me this wonderful opportunity. In so many different ways, this has been a life-changing experience for me. It completely affected my work and my life. From the streets of Belgrade to the fields of Knersley, I wouldn't have changed a single moment of this incredible journey for the world. I have to say, when we first started driving in that bus from the airport to our apartments in New Belgrade, I realized how different this experience would be. I was absolutely shocked to see how similar but how different life in Serbia was. I couldn't believe that there was graffiti all over everything, and I was astounded that there was still buildings, such as the Chinese embassy that Maritza showed us, that were in ruins from the bombing. It took me a while to adjust to the fact that we had no air conditioning or hot water where I was staying, and that mosquitoes would randomly swarm in the living room. I realized how lucky we had it back at home, to be quite honest. After a while, though, I was completely used to it, and none of those factors even fazed me at all. It was a nice change to who I was to accept that and learn to live in a different way. So, needless to say, in Belgrade, I learned about my work and my life as well. I realized how strong I could be. I was able to push myself past physical limitations that I didn't know I could cross, and it felt fantastic. For the first time we did Qigong, I thought I was going to fall over and die. My muscles started shaking, and it really felt like an accomplishment to hang in there until the end and to realize that it wasn't even hard to do at all by the end of our trip. It was just an everyday thing. Along with this physical achievement, the DAW showed me how important movement is in acting and gave me training that would apply to my work. I took musical theater, so I don't have as much movement training as I would like. I feel that Gianna's training on movement and moving separate parts of your body at different times, plus the drum training and the three-step, all really helped me to get more into my body. They put us through those training exercises on a daily basis, so now it's an impulse of mine to turn my eyes before my head or my head before my body. More importantly, though, I learned that this is so beautiful to combine all different forms of art to make a show through watching the DAW's work. Their shows have dancing, singing, acting, and actual art in them, and they are the most powerful things I have ever seen in my life. In fact, they're unbelievable. The story of tea literally left me breathless. After the story of tea, I sat in the audience with my teacup filled with emotions I couldn't even begin to describe. It was baffling. I realized after a long time of sorting out my thoughts that I sing, I dance, I paint, I sculpt, I act. Why have I never thought of combining those talents together? They're all forms of art. Combining different forms of art into one masterpiece creates beautiful finished products. I mean, when we left there observing that sculpture-like scene left behind from the story of tea, we had to sit there and soak it in. There was literally 20 people that just sat there with me for about 30 minutes after the show and had ended, just staring at the set or the candle on their hands. And that's fabulous. That's art that changes lives and makes change in the world. I hope I'm being clear. To make sure I am, to sum this up, I realize that theater and art don't need limitations. Once you've trained yourself, you should be as creatively free as you possibly can be. That's the DAW. They are most certainly creative, free of limitations, and one of the greatest groups of people I have ever met. The more free you are, the less limits you have. The less limits you have, the better the final outcome or the final performance winds up being. That was a life-changing epiphany for me, and I'm so glad that I was able to experience it. Along with my work, I found that living in Serbia taught me a true sense of widespread independence and responsibility. Now, don't get me wrong, I was responsible before, but there were days in Serbia where I would be off in the city by myself. I had to know what time it was, what time I needed to be at the show, and which bus to take to get there, and how to get home. I was on my own in a foreign country taking care of myself, and that really brought forth a trust in me that I didn't originally know I have. Originally, I allotted a lot of time for each place I had to be at because I didn't know how to allot for that time. I'm very overly cautious, and I didn't trust myself to get and find everywhere I needed to be. I divided up my time because I didn't really trust myself to get to places on time. After a while, though, I could enjoy myself and let it go and just know that I knew exactly where I was and where I was going and that I would be on time. I can trust myself better now to get where I need to be at appropriate times. That trust was something I needed because I am very paranoid and I tend to be overly cautious and not really trust myself. So that was nice to find and discover that trust within me. England seemed like a completely separate trip to me. It was another world at the opposite end of the spectrum from Serbia. Where Serbia came across as the epitome of strength and energy at all times, England was a deep meditation. I was very connected to the earth. I enjoyed just sitting out in the lawn or on the hammock and drinking tea. It was the perfect topper to the Serbian lifestyle because it calmed me down from the city's crazy pace and relaxed me more than I knew I could get relaxed. I was the most relaxed I'd ever been in the 3-hour breaks that we had the first few days, where I would be able to just sit outside with everyone in the sun in the castle yard. Music was played. We all laid out our towels in the grass, and I was just able to be without worry at all. As I sat in the yard and wandered the castle grounds and traveled to Stratford, I felt this deep-seated sense of connection to history for the first time. We were somewhere that's been around since the 1100s. That's 900 years old. I could just imagine and almost feel all the people who had lived or walked on that land before me. Stratford was a great example of this. When I went to Stratford, I really felt connected to the people who had walked there hundreds of years before me in Shakespeare's time. I mean, being at Shakespeare's birthplace and his grave connected me with that sense of history. His grave actually really impacted me. I can't explain how, but I felt so happy in that chapel. I loved all of the beautiful shading on the art and the stained glass windows and the sculptures on the walls of the chapel and where the graves were. They were absolutely beautiful. It was so unbelievably eerie and enjoyable. I just didn't want to leave. Actually, right after the grave, we went to the Hall House, where the tour guide liked us enough to tell us about the history of the house for a good 20 minutes and let us sit on the bench of repentance, since we were American and were told we definitely needed to do that. He told us a lot of stories that really put us in the history of the house. For instance, he described the events of the painting that were on the wall of the house. It wasn't in relation to the halls, but it was crazy enough and such an in-depth story and analysis of this art that I just couldn't look away. Because of the great imagery of the past, it was definitely the perfect environment to connect with our imaginations and do archetypes. I really appreciated the archetype journeys, probably because I have such an overactive imagination. I found myself really experiencing these journeys that we went through, and I felt those characters living inside of me. Each one was obviously different from another. The lover was the one that was the most vivid to me. All the bright colors and scents really put me into the story. I could feel the grass at my feet, I could see the sun setting in front of my eyes, and I was really there, and it was a fabulous feeling. I was actually surprised, too, that I found myself going off journey a little bit by accident. I would wind up doing something that I didn't expect and surprise myself every time. For instance, when we took the spiritual leader journey, once I was given the begging bowl for the first time, I could not get myself to beg. Once I found the little child and had nothing to offer her, I began to beg, so she would have something to eat. It was an odd stray from the experience. I did not expect to stray like I did. It just happened, and I thought I was really neat that I allowed myself to go through an off-book journey there. After that happened, I wound up back on track with the story, though, and it was a really wild experience that showed me a lot about myself. The application process we learned to will be extremely beneficial to my work. I can't believe that there were so many ways to apply the archetype work, but they were all so helpful. The song I wound up applying everything to was Another Suitcase in Another Hall from Evita. I had worked on this in musical theater class, but it wasn't quite where I wanted it to be. By applying the archetypes to what I had, it brought it to the place I was hoping it could go to. I found that it gives an actor those little magical moments of flavor in your work that make it look fantastic. For instance, my song was done mostly in the child, though at times she was trying to be the lover because she was trying to make herself older and more experienced than she was. I found that putting hints of Lucifer in there actually gave it a human reality and made it more interesting. It showed me that she was mad and not completely innocent, to what was going on, and that made the song so much more flavorful and provided a depth of understanding. The other little silly thing that I learned was to deal with my fear of planes. We took 4 planes, and 2 of them were ridiculously long, to say the least. I can't say I'm completely better for it, but I am getting used to riding on planes, and I'm not fearing for my life on them anymore. When we went up the first time on the plane in the beginning of our trip, I didn't breathe all through takeoff. I held my breath and didn't breathe again until we were in the air. I almost cried when we hit turbulence. However, once we made it on the last plane ride, I was okay. I was a little uncomfortable, but I'm getting better. It was very sad to leave our trip because it was like a different lifestyle. It was an experience that I will absolutely never forget, and I wish that it didn't have to end. However, I need to get back to my life. It was such a weird adjustment coming back. I feel as if I came back to the States as a completely different person. My craft has evolved and become stronger and richer. I feel more mature and more aware of things and the world around me, and I feel I needed this experience for my art. It shaped me and got me ready for a new chapter in my life. I cannot completely express what I felt and learned and experienced in words, but this is the start of it. I feel as if I have learned so much, but I will continue to realize and learn more and more about the trip as I look back on it in the future. After all, this is all about perspective. Thank you for everything. I am a different person in much better ways after this trip, and I will always remember it, and I really hope that we can go back again like we've talked about. Sincerely, Mallory Mackey, your humble student and future adventurer. That was pretty wild, actually. I haven't read that since I wrote that in 2009. Anyway, that's all I have for you today. I hope that was an interesting topic and experience for you, to say the least. It was something that was definitely very personal to me. And I will leave you with that. So until next time, stay weird.